May I speak in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. So I'm feeling rather daunted this morning. Today is the feast of Christ the King, and rumor has it that kings are not terribly popular in this great republic. In fact, I gather that you rather ran your last king out of town, if memory serves me right. So I have to say that I'm going to call on an ally to help me in this task of convincing you of the merits of kingship in the person of Christ. And my ally is a figure who I think is rather well known and popular. He is an Englishman, but he's very popular in this country. And in fact, on Thanksgiving Day, on November the 22nd, we celebrated his Saints' Day in the Episcopal calendar. And the person I'm talking about is C.S. Lewis, who many of you know as the writer of the Chronicles of Narnia, that mythical tale, thinly disguised tale, of the kings and queens of light fighting the queens and princes of darkness, a mythical tale of the reality and the underlying message of the Christian story. But the book I want to refer to of Lewis's is not the Narnia Tales, but another book which was as important, and in fact is probably one of the best-selling books and introductions to Christianity, a book called Mere Christianity. It originally wasn't written as a book, but as a series of radio talks that Lewis gave on the BBC during the Second World War as he tried to boost the morale of the British people as they fought against the forces of darkness. And within Mere Christianity, Lewis has an image of kingship that I think might appeal to the Minutemanish spirit of New England. He writes this: enemy territory, that is what the world is. Christianity is a story of how the rightful king has landed, you might say landed in disguise, and is calling us to take part in a great campaign of sabotage. Sound familiar? When you go to church, you are really listening to secret wireless messages from our friends. That is why the enemy is so anxious to prevent you from attending church. And I thought that idea of Christ as the king, not as the triumphal King George III with his red coats, but this idea of a king hiding behind bushes, ambushing the forces of evil, might be one that appeals, does it?
Yeah.
Good. But, while that image may appeal to you, I wonder whether Lewis's characterization of the world as enemy territory might not be so appealing. Am I right in that? I mean, it feels to me that this week, we've just, on Thursday, spent a day not just eating lots of turkey and gravy and stuffing, but we've also spent the day, and I think many of us sincerely, giving thanks for our world, giving thanks for the bounty that God has given us, for the beauty, for the fields, for the land, for this great world that is God's gift to us. Why, therefore, would Lewis characterize this as enemy territory? I think we have to remember the time in which Lewis was writing. He was writing in 1940, a time when he had seen the beautiful world over the previous 20 years turned into enemy territory, a time when he had seen the civilized world nations of Europe subverted, lied to, perverted by politicians and other people. both on the left and on the right. One of Lewis's great themes, both in Mere Christianity and in the Screwtape Letters, is how the devil, and Lewis says that some people might criticize him for reintroducing the notion of the devil into modern thinking. And he says, while the devil may not have thorns and cloven hooves, if we think that the forces of evil are not around, we are fooling ourselves. And one of the things that the devil tries to do, Lewis says, is to fool us into thinking that he doesn't exist. And one of the things that Lewis had witnessed in the 20s and the 30s is how evil, the prince of darkness, had taken good concepts, concepts such as equality, the love of nation, the freedom of nation, had taken these concepts which are good in themselves and perverted them to become vehicles of evil that were to lead to the Second World War. And one of the themes of Mere Christianity is that Lewis wants us to be on our guard, to be on our guard about how in our own lives and in our own day, things that are on the surface, things that are good. As Lewis says, everything that is created is good in itself. But everything can be subverted by the forces of darkness. Everything within us can be subverted if we're not paying attention. If we're not paying attention to who is ruling our hearts. And there are two concepts that Lewis speaks about that I think are very dear to our hearts as Americans and as Episcopalians. Two things that are so important to us that can so, and because they're so important to us, can so easily become the vehicles of subversion of everything we are meant to be. The first concept is that of niceness, of niceness. Lewis, he was a civilized Oxford man. He believed in good manners and politeness and treating people well. And we know at this time in our own nation, there's this longing for civility and niceness. And certainly, I have brought my kids up to be nice and polite, and I believe in those things. And here in Wellesley, I think this is one of the nicest places I've ever lived. And here we strive to create a civilized, polite, a nice place for us and for our families. But what Lewis says is this, that we can begin to think that just because we're creating a nice environment for ourselves, for us and for our families, that we're actually taking on the challenge of making the world a place that Christ came it to be. We can think that because we're nice and polite to each other, that we're actually doing something to combat the evil that ravages our world, that creates bigotry and hatred and starvation and oppression. Satan takes what is good and perverts it. We need to be on our guard. The other concept is something that is even more fundamental to us, is even dearer to us. It's a concept of freedom. This nation, this great nation, perhaps the greatest nation the world has ever known, is built on the concept of freedom. And on the surface, freedom is such a great thing. Freedom is all about not having an oppressive king or a government or someone else telling you what to do. It's the freedom to make your own choice. It's the freedom even to say to God, I reject you. But freedom too can be perverted. And in particular, Lewis was concerned that our idea of freedom can become this notion that if I am free from everything, including God, I can be truly myself. But Lewis says, this idea of myself existing independent from God is a myth. It's a lie. Paradoxically, he says, if we want to become truly ourselves, if we want to have a real personality, we need to not declare freedom from God, but actually bind ourselves to Christ. So what does he mean by this? It's complicated. What he means by this is that the idea of myself living on my own, separate from God, doesn't exist. This idea of myself separate from God becomes, as he says, merely becoming dominated by the prejudices of my own heritage, my own upbringing, my own surroundings, and my own natural desires. What he says is, what, in fact, I so proudly call myself becomes merely the meeting place for trains of events which I never started and which I cannot stop. What I call my wishes merely becomes the desires thrown up by my physical desires, or things that are pumped into me by other people's thoughts or propaganda or advertising. These things, which we think are ourselves, are merely the products of other people. And remember, he was writing at a time when he had seen the most civilized nation in the world, namely Germany, utterly subverted by propaganda and by base desires. They thought they were becoming truly people, but they were becoming their puppets and shadows of themselves. And what Lewis argues is that it's only by paradoxically bending our knee to Christ, giving ourselves to Christ, that we can become a real personality. And what he points out is that we need to get ourselves out of the way to become a true personality. And he gives us a couple of examples of this. So if you're concerned with making a good impression on someone else, the more you think about, oh, I want to make a good impression on this person, the less likely you are to do so, because yourself gets in the way of that. Or as an artist, the more you want to make your art or literature original, the less original you will become. You need to get yourself out of the way. And as he says, that by bending our knee to Christ and allowing Christ's values, the values of love and care for others, to become what leads us, we become truly the people God is calling us to be. Next week, Advent begins. It's a time of waiting and being alert for the coming of the Christ child. So I invite you, during this Advent period, to be alert to the way some of the things that you value most in your lives can become subverted by the power of evil. Be alert about how you can be led astray by those things. And above all, remember that we are called to fight and fight hard for a world in which all people are valued and loved and cared for as we would wish to be. Amen.